maximize. This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on this hump day? Happy hump day to you and yours. Hope you guys are staying cool. Oh my goodness, heat wave coming across the country. Hope you're staying cool. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. You can check out the website right now for the next early opponent preview. We rocked and rolled. We were previewing the South Carolina Gamecocks this morning. Hunter DeCiver got that on the website. So if you want to read about the Gamecocks, we'll talk about Lenora Sellers today, just a hair. We'll talk NBA draft. We're going to talk about an unfortunate incident for an Alabama, former Alabama athlete. Was it unfortunate or is it a huge positive? We'll talk about that. And we'll hopefully, ideally, catch up with J.J. Finch, Alabama's newest defensive lineman, the commit. He committed on Sunday, and we will hopefully catch up with him about 8:45, about 30 minutes from now. We'll have we were scheduled. We teased yesterday we were going to do Know Your Enemy. We were going to do LSU, but J.J. Finch said yes to an interview, so we hope that that happens. I believe it will happen, and we'll have a lot of fun getting to know Alabama's newest defensive line commit right about 30 minutes from now. We want to let you know that, of course, you can jump in and join us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Robert's got himself a short little voicemail in here. I'm sure he's going to give us a topic to banter about, so we appreciate Robert for doing that and you for jumping in and following Robert at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can always leave a comment on the show at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_. You can leave it at Bama Central. We're trying to have a lot of fun with you each and every weekday talking Alabama sports. We are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek and his team at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call him for all your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance needs. They can take care of you. They are right upstairs, right at Victoria. And there's a new, I gotta learn a new name, Mason, to rattle off, but he's got a new employee upstairs that I gotta figure out their name. And it's just so that I can let you guys know who to call. 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Fun Tuesday yesterday. Mason had a big old bust of a doctor's appointment, went into the doctor's appointment, and they said, this will cost money a million times. So I didn't get anything really done. I was like, well, how much money? I don't know. A third party's going to bill it. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. I said, well, I'll pass then. So that was my Tuesday. How was your Tuesday?
It was pretty good. Pretty busy. A lot of things happening in the recruiting world, whether it was for Boston College yesterday, whether it was for Vanderbilt, Alabama, Missouri, all those schools having some, relatively active days. Boston College, especially yesterday, getting a commitment from a offensive tackle who is 6'9", 325 pounds.
Oh.
So watch out for that gentleman right there.
6'9", 325.
Unranked as a prospect. I do not believe that will last for long.
All right. Bill O'Brien been getting himself one, I guess.
That's what it seems like.
Well, appreciate Everett Osmer jumping in on the comment section. No, I am not wrestling, but I will be doing the ring announcing on July 12th for New Era Wrestling. We will talk to Jasper Reed tomorrow of DNR, the tag team that failed to win the tag team titles at the last show. We'll talk to him tomorrow. So join us July the 12th in Jasper, Alabama to talk about New Era, to boo me, really. If you want to cheer me, that's great. If you want to boo me, that's great as well. I'll be doing the ring announcing for New Era Wrestling July 12th. Appreciate Everett Osmer jumping in on the comment section. Let's talk real quick. Just a funny story. Get it out of the way. Former Alabama athlete. Did he have a good day or a bad day yesterday? Chris Robinson, running the 400 meter hurdles, one lap around the track. He wins the event in Ostrava. Where is that? Ostrava is the Czech Republic. So this is just a professional track meet. He's in the Czech Republic and he wins. If you haven't seen it, don't look at it at work because it's
you don't have to watch it at all, honestly.
You didn't enjoy it?
It was pretty funny. I mean, I thought it was hilarious. There's a large swath of people that probably won't be stoked to have seen it.
You're exactly right. A lot of our audience that is maybe a hair more conservative will think, why in the world are you talking about this? But Chris Robinson wins the event at 48.05.
But at what cost?
You're running the hurdles. So you're jumping. You're jumping over, a dozen hurdles or so over the lap.
And that has always amazed me.
The man's underwear malfunctioned, and his private parts were hanging out the bottom of his shorts during the back half of the lap, and you can see him trying to tuck it back in,
doing everything he possibly can to keep from exposing himself.
He was trying to be modest, folks.
He was really trying hard. I don't know what happened. I mean, like, it looked like he either had just a catastrophic underwear blowout or something, or like wasn't wearing any at all, which also seems like a bad idea.
How many pairs of underwear do you have, Mason, that have holes in them?
Not any. That's not zero? My thing. You got to get rid of the ones with holes in them. You got to replace them bad boys. I can't do the holes. No. All right. You got to replace some things.
20% maybe of mine.
Oh, no. You're a grown adult man. Get new underwear.
All right. I will. I'm going to go to Amazon right now.
This is
reorder.
I hope that he was at least wearing some underwear, and that this was some sort of we'll call it equipment malfunction, and that he did not opt to run that race with what looks like no underwear, judging from the video, because that just seems like a horrible idea from the start. But yeah, no, I mean, he's like you said, he wins, but at what cost? Because everyone in that stadium and now all of us at home
got a very clear picture.
His manhood.
Very clear picture. Maybe he will address that before his next 400 meter run.
Get you some longer compression shorts, buddy. You can still get that same range of motion if you just cover up a little more. Just get the tight little, get your tight, longer compression short. We don't have to have the short shorts.
All right. So do we determine, was it?
I mean, you win. That's all that matters.
Or was it a proverbial, like a greater win? Or was the embarrassment?
I mean, look, I don't know if what this event really is, where it stands, like as far as like getting to the Olympics or anything like that. But if this is the path that you have to take in order to get there, and that being the highest level of this sport,
these are the Golden Spikes of Strava, the annual athletics event at Majewski. Sorry, I stadium.
It's at least moderately prestigious, that event. So surely the good outweighs the bad here, because like I was saying before we got on, everybody will forget about this in less than a week. Nobody will remember it by the time he even races again, probably. So I'm sure for what it did for his career winning that, probably was good things. And then also, even if somebody does remember it, you just got to steer into it, and then you can make a whole thing. You can just kind of be the funny viral moment guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on, I just saw the clip and I was like, wait, what? Is that what I see?
I think for professional athletes, you're just taking that win. I think any normal person like you or I, that's certainly the loss outweighs the victory.
I'm going there to hide in my closet for a week.
Yeah. I mean, what was the
disconnecting the internet
guy at the combine, however many years, a few years ago, five, 6 years ago now, that was running this 40 and had basically the exact same thing happen.
Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had a little compression short blowout. He did not hold the same sentiment as our friend here, though. He went all flat out to the ground and just kind of laid there. And then you saw him get up and try to waddle away. But no, man, I wish I could remember who it was now. But yeah, oh, yeah, good times.
All right. We'll put the fun away. Well, we'll still have fun, but we'll be a little more inside the white lines here on the Joe Gaither Show. I just saw that and thought, whoa. And then, that's a former Alabama athlete. I was like, okay, it was
Chris Jones.
Oh, okay. All right. There you go. Let's move on to the voicemail line, because we want to keep that very featured and very upfront on the show. Robert from Brookwood gave us a call. You can too. 205-462-7340, extension 800. Here is Robert from Brookwood.
As Robert from Brookwood, hope all is well. Recruiting's going great. I believe these guys are getting guys that they can work with that have good attitudes, because Alabama's had a little bit of attitude problem last few years. To me, it don't matter if they're 3 stars or 4 stars. I think this coaching staff can develop them. So I'm very pleased with recruiting so far. And I think everything's great, and hope everything's great with you guys. Appreciate you being on the air, sharing information with us. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you too, Robert. I really, really appreciate you being a part of the show and calling the show. look, momentum is cranking.
Yeah.
You know, we got two recruits committing tomorrow because it's my mother's birthday tomorrow. They said, I know that Joe's going to need some good things to talk about on Thursday. So Max Sutter, Xavier Crowell, both putting it in tomorrow. They're going to make their announcements tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Happy birthday. Happy early birthday, Mom. Robert, I think that we got three good ones. And really, hey. A long snapper too.
That's what I was just gonna. I forgot about the long snapper until just now. I was going back to pull up, you know, what I wrote yesterday. And yeah, Alabama gets you. You get your first specialist of the 26th class yesterday. Eli, I'm assuming it is Deutsch. I don't know, but I'm just going to roll with that. Deutsch.
Yeah, I like that too.
From Franklin, Wisconsin, was a 4.5-star, you know, 4.5-star rated long snapper by the only real like kicking ranger,
Jamie Cole.
Cole's kicking can. You know, they have him as a 4.5-star, number 21 long snapper in the country. If anyone is not familiar, that is where you go for any bit of kicker ranking, kicker long snapper. You know, the 247s, your on threes and rivals don't typically have them. It's more of the Coles kicking stuff. So seems to be a pretty highly rated prospect. You know, Alabama needed one. You've only got three guys on the roster right now. I think two of which will likely, I think they have two older guys, and then you brought in the Cal transfer as well. So, you know, you got this position locked up at least for the future.
All right. You got a defensive lineman, a running back, a safety, and a long snapper, four in really 3 days. And I think you're going to get at least, I'll be conservative and say one of the two tomorrow, but I really think you're going to get both Max Sutter and Xavier Crowell.
I'll look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mason, yeah, appreciate your call, Robert. Absolutely. Call just like Robert at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to be a part of the show, leave us a voicemail. Leave us your thoughts on these recruits. Got a couple comments yesterday. I clipped about 8-9 minutes of our show, and I put it also on Bama Central's YouTube channel. And the shorter portion, that seven and a half minutes, got a lot more traction than the longer portion.
There's something to be said, honestly. I think the death of the, like, you know, 7 to 12 minute YouTube video now has kind of like angered me, because like you can't just sit down and watch a 10-minute YouTube video anymore. Hardly, like, everything is 35-40. So it makes sense why people are gravitating a little bit to maybe the shorter clips. I think people are, you know, they're yearning for the days of old YouTube a little bit. Maybe we gotta get our clips out there.
There we go. So what I asked, framed it: should Alabama fans be worried about star rankings with the latest Tide recruits? And obviously, our show yesterday was basically saying no.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be. Just let the coaching staff cook. And I'm actually really pleased with the comments that we got. We got Dabu 33. Not really. We need work ethic. Alabama offseason matters, strong and disciplined. Tide fans. 2020. No, I trust in Coach DeBoer and the staff. Our friend Katie Windham, time will tell. Courtney Morgan generally knows what he's doing. Totally agree with you, Katie. You keep planning that wedding, young ma'am. Then Metallica AA Alabama. We are.
That's Greg Byrne right there. That's his burner.
It may be. We are moving into an era of college football where you might be right.
Come on. This is absolutely him.
We're moving into an era of college football where you'll have to have elite coaching in every position that are able to do more than two and three stars. So get a couple of 4 and 5 stars. Get the coaches that develop players like no other program. Bama generally does this and have done this since their championship beginnings. Anyone thinking Alabama is going to disappear from relevance have no idea what they're talking about. Better not have any big bets on that idea, because Bama has no problems remaining relevant.
Who in the copywriting department wrote that? Because that sounds like just a piece of that's fantastic. That Greg, appreciate, just come on the show.
Appreciate you watching the show, Greg. And Daniel Adams 2772 said, "Let Courtney take the wheel." So a lot of people in agreement with us, and I appreciate that. Makes me think we're in the right lanes. Georgia getting another 3-star last night after we're off the air. I said 8 position players; they're up to 9 3-stars. Look. Don't get so wrapped up in that.
I think what Robert said in that call, you know, I think a lot of fans kind of feel that way about the attitude things, where it's, you know, Bama has done the thing with the, oh, let's go get the biggest names in the class. And, you know, the last 4 or 5 years of the Saban era, that wasn't really working that great. Not a lot of those guys were turning into, you know, the biggest and baddest stars on the team. A lot of those guys were transferring out and then fizzling out at other programs. So I understand how the fan base could be kind of, you know, sharing this sentiment of like, we want to make sure we're getting good character guys, good guys that are going to stay here, stick around with the program, and, you know, we're actually commit to the system. And I certainly seems like those are the guys Alabama has gone and gotten, you know, with these last few over the last week or so, and then even the guys before that.
So we will obviously keep it up with recruiting the rest of the summer and the rest of the week and the rest of today. And so keep it up with it at Alabama Crimson Tide on SI at MA Woods _ on the Twitter machine. And we will keep putting our clips out as well as we watch these guys' tapes. I'm really looking forward to hearing from JJ Finch later in the program, about 15 minutes from now or so. So let's move into something a little different, the same but different. Yesterday, Lenora Sellers was on a little podcast, a little radio show out in over in South Carolina. Let me make sure I get it right. He was on the Zach Gelb show. And Zach Gelb asked him about Thomas Castellanos and his comments about Alabama. He said, "Oh, Castellanos, yan 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 about Alabama. Y'all are playing Alabama. Y'all had a close game last year. What do you think about the Crimson Tide?" Well done, Lenoris.
Very well done.
Well done. He says, "Shoot, Alabama is still Alabama to me. They were good last year. They're a good team. They're big, strong, and fast. That's how I remember watching them growing up. I don't really think they've changed that much. Obviously, they've got a new coaching staff and all that, but that's still the SEC. That's still SEC ball. That's still Alabama."
That's the right way to handle that question. Take some notes, Thomas Castellanos. You be... I imagine, you know, South Carolina's PR folks, the media relations people and everything like that, they were jumping in their joy when they saw that he answered that question this way.
Of course. Don't give anybody look.
There's nothing that Alabama can take out of that answer.
Right.
Other than rat poison.
We are still Alabama. Yes, we're the best. I was just I think that is that the difference right now between South Carolina and Florida State?
I think that's part of it.
South Carolina on the uptick, and Florida State maybe not so much.
Florida State been cooking on the recruiting trail this week.
Shoot, they have.
I mean, every hour it's another guy commits to Florida State. They stole, I think, two from Auburn. They've been doing things well on the recruiting trail. But yeah, I do think that is a bit of an indicator of just kind of the states of those two programs. You see why everybody is so high on South Carolina right now, and people maybe aren't as high on Florida State.
Well, that's one of the road trips I'm hoping to make this year. And I told you, if I make that road trip and Alabama loses, Katie's not going to let me go down to Auburn.
I saw yesterday some current Boston College players sharing their reactions to Mr. Thomas Castellanos. Some of them sharing the sentiment of, you know, and that's not quite how I remember it happening last year and things of that nature. He has really dug himself a hole with those comments that he made.
I mean,
and he's going to have to play so well to get out of there. Like the moment he throws an interception, it's all coming down around you, buddy. Remember what you said 3 months ago? Let's start right in your face now. Like, he has to be perfect.
Largely, yes.
Godspeed to you, buddy.
Because look, the Alabama fan base doesn't always love Bill O'Brien. I think he did a B-plus job here.
I think people don't give him enough credit.
Sure. Yet. I think he did a B-plus job, but you can totally understand how a quarterback butts heads with him. And kind of, okay, you know, he was kind of this is the system I like. This is what we're running. This is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's totally understandable that you butted heads with him. But my outside perception is y'all butted heads and Castellanos, you quit. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's certainly what it has seemed like this, you know, this whole time.
It's okay to butt heads with your coach. I mean, obviously we don't encourage that, but it's just going to happen. It's human nature.
Yeah.
Part of being a player,
part of being a competitor,
is digging in and saying, okay, well, I'm either going to do what my coach said, or I'm going to be second string and do the best I can, and second string, third string, whatever the case may be. You quit on your team, and I don't know. I have an issue with that as far as looking your teammates in the eyes or the relationship that you're supposedly building. Even if you don't, I don't know. I grew up with you get what you get and you don't pitch a fit kind of a way. And if Bill O'Brien says, hey, you're not playing the right way for us, or you're not good enough for us, or you're not this or that, you know, you get what you get and you don't pitch a fit. The transfer portal's there next, what, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. So I'm with you. I think Castellanos you know, Florida State's going to stop taking transfer quarterbacks after DJ Uiagalelei and Thomas Castellanos.
I've not seen it be done. You cannot build an overly successful team without starting from your home. Like, you can go, you plug and play with your transfers. You get your bits and pieces that you need, but
that
you
quarterback's
cannot
important.
Build a team out of the transfer portal that is going to compete really for anything that high.
Yeah, that quarterback's important, and he needs to be instilled with the values of your program.
Yes,
I think so.
Speaking of quarterbacks, just, you know, transferring and everything, I saw more clips from Diego Pavia. Talking about his money and everything. Have you seen Vanderbilt?
I do see him say, "Who is Josh Paid?"
Yeah, I did see that as well. he mentioned when he was getting paid, when he was at New Mexico, New Mexico State? Yeah. Him and Eli Stowers. He was getting, I think he said he was like $1,400 a month. Eli Stowers getting $3,000 a month. And he was like, and I was pissed. We were mad about it at each other in the locker room, called all this. And, like, we've talked about that being an issue, like, guys knowing what each other are making and being angry about it. Oh, I feel like I deserve more. I'm the quarterback. It seems like that was a bit of an issue there. And then, obviously, the two of them go to Vanderbilt. He says Vanderbilt is now paying him well over $150,000 a year, which, for his services, I guess, considering what he got you last year, that's probably worthwhile. But just interesting to me that that's not something I've seen really any players talk about.
Surely
but
he's worth more than $150,000.
You would think. That's apparently what they're giving. I'm sure there's money elsewhere, but that's what he's getting paid a year, he says.
That's
just funny. Interesting, though. I'd like to know how much of that is going on in locker rooms around the country where it's a star wide receiver, a star linebacker, or whoever it is getting paid more than a run-of-the-mill quarterback, and that quarterback might be in his feelings a little bit.
What do you think about Clark Lee? Do you think Clark Lee likes Pavia going on this podcast circuit?
Yes and no. I think
all press is good press.
Yes, I think
especially if you're Vanderbilt.
I think that's kind of where Vanderbilt is as a program, where just, you know, let's just get more eyes on us, and then people can kind of create their own opinion from there. Because right now there's just not eyes on Vanderbilt, so it's good from that standpoint.
He bring the swag.
Yeah, he's bringing a little bit of that, but he's talking a lot of big game. I would be. The whole Tennessee comments and everything, I'd have maybe been like, hey, buddy, let's pump the brakes there some. But, you know, it is what it is.
Aren't they they're playing in Knoxville this year, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Oh, good luck. Good luck. Joey,
what an upset that would be, though.
My friend Taylor would be, his heart would really be hurt.
Would that be the worst Tennessee loss? I mean, South Carolina in 22 was bad. I think of some of the other ones they've had the last 3, 4, 5 years that have been real tough, because it feels like they always have one.
They had Florida drop a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
That Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, it may have been.
Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah. That would probably be the worst one, though, for Volunteer fans. It was certainly pretty bad for Bama fans. And that happened in Nashville.
All right, so let's keep this thing rolling before we catch up with J.J. Finch, Alabama's newest defensive line commit. Let's look at tonight. Tonight's some action, a little news tonight, a little fun tonight. If you are bored because you are in the sports doldrums, tonight Alabama's got four guys who are hoping to hear their names called. And not sure if that's going to happen or not, but the NBA draft does start tonight at 7:30. Let me pull my times up. Where to watch here? It is 7:00. 7:00 on ABC/ESPN. They're going to get both channels because they don't have anything better to air. You'll get dual broadcast on ABC and ESPN, so you get to choose what you want to look at. At 7:00, you'll hear Cooper Flagg. Well, Cooper Flagg at 7:10, because the first pick is going to be, they're going to take all 10 minutes, despite knowing who they're going to take anyways. NBA draft.
Cooper Flagg's going to be a Maverick. Order.
Mavericks. You're right. Yes. They got it rigged for them. That triggers my memory. And then pick number 2, Kamon Malawash. No, just kidding. It's, who knows what they're going to do?
Probably Ace Bailey. Then again, though, I've seen some rumblings that maybe his pre-draft process has not been the best.
Yes, I've seen that as well, and people are concerned a little bit about his crowd, the crowd that he's surrounding himself with.
I don't think it's going to matter much for an NBA team. Some team will. Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's 6'10", however tall he is, he's Somebody's going to want him.
The Ringer has Dylan Harper, second, Con Canopel, third, Trey Johnson, fourth, Texas, VJ Edgecombe, from Baylor, four, five, and Ace Bailey, six. So there we go. Unfortunately, it's going to be tough.
Do they do both rounds tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Both rounds, knock them on out. And we, Hunter Decider's probably going to be up late tonight, writing G League, writing two way contract, writing summer league contract.
Yeah. I hate to say that, but I think if any Bama fans are planning on watching the NBA draft tonight, it's going to be a long time of watching before you even have a chance at hearing an Alabama guy come off the board. I don't really think that any of them are going to come off the board at all. I think, like Joe just said, it's probably going to be a lot of G League deals, a lot of summer league contracts. Just kind of give these guys a chance to get onto a roster. I just don't really see any of them getting drafted, unfortunately.
All right, I believe there's 59 picks. How many total picks in the NBA draft? I think it's 59, but I don't want to be misleading. Yes, 59. Perfect. Hunter Decider basically has a small guide right there on Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. So let's just look at each prospect. The Athletic has Mark Sears. We'll start with Mark Sears. Mm-hmm. The Athletic has him going as undrafted number 60 on the big board. ESPN, undrafted number 61 on the big board. Now, NBA draft on SI, one of our counterparts, has him going number 55 to the Los Angeles Lakers. So there we go. Bleacher Report has him going number 51 to the Los Angeles Clippers. And then USA Today has him going number 45 to the Chicago Bulls. CBS Sports, undrafted, they have him number 56 on their big board. So just falling out barely based on team selection. And FanSided has him undrafted as well, number 68 on their big board.
Just going to be tough scenes for all these guys. I mean, it's pretty similar outlooks from, just going off what Hunter wrote here. It's pretty similar outlooks for most of these guys where it's undrafted in just about all of these. And then, one or two of them has them as a very late pick, in that 55 to 59 range, basically.
I think two factors are helping Mark and Grant. And I think Theo brought it up on Monday. You look at the back half of the draft and it's a lot of, oh, this guy's a graduate. That guy's a graduate. This guy's a graduate. That's the Jani Broom range. And when you think about it, you think about what the NBA likes, what the NBA needs, length and shooting. Now, Mark, not going to give you the length, but Grant will. And so it's kind of one and the other. Grant's going to give you length and athleticism. So if I'm
here's take my, them both. One full player.
Yes. You put Mark on Grant's back. Yeah. you merge them together.
It's like Mario Kart double dash. Absolutely.
I think that you got a little chance to get Grant and Mark drafted because of their pedigree in college and because of their comparable, once you're in that back range, you're pretty much looking for who's got more room to develop. I think Grant has another 3-4 years to develop and get better. I think you get him in an NBA weight program and you continue, like, because he got stronger here.
Yeah.
He came here, no disrespect to you, Grant, we loved you. He came here a little on the little thinner side, little on the weaker side. Definitely added muscle, definitely got stronger in his game here in Tuscaloosa. And I think that if you continue that trajectory, is he going to be an NBA All-Star? No.
No.
But he does have a potential. I think he has potential to put another 15 pounds worth of muscle on him, and he can become a role player type.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got, he certainly has the build that you're looking for. Just needs a little bit extra oomph on him. I worry a little bit that maybe his athleticism is not quite at the NBA level. He's a little slow, a little lumbering in his movements. It worked at Alabama because you're playing in college, but that quick swing jab step where he goes and tries to yam on somebody the first time he does that, he's probably getting ripped in an NBA game. So
blocked at the rim.
Yeah, something.
Wimby says
that's my main concern with Grant is that he might just be, his athleticism might not quite be there, but he definitely has the build that you're looking for, the size. Just want to get him a little bit stronger, I would imagine.
And then we know the NBA game has now just basically who can make a 3-point shot. And I'll tell you this, Mark will keep taking that step back and step back and step back. Look,
if nothing else, Mark Sears is going to get to the free throw line. He'll get to the free throw line.
Yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just won the MVP off of doing that. So, you know, there might be a role for these guys.
So I think that those things help the guys in terms of NBA scouting. I would not expect to see them anytime early. I'm sorry. Like, it just stinks to say that.
I think if any of them even get onto a team, it's going to be a couple years before you see them in the league.
That, but I just meant drafted tonight early. I think so. So you're starting at 7. It's probably going to be over at 9:30, 10 o'clock. You're not going to see these fellas until 8:45, 9 o'clock. So tune in late. You know, have dinner with the family. Do your thing with the family, and then as you're winding on down, keep an eye on Mark Sears, Grant Nelson, Chris Youngblood, Cliff Amori are the other two. Now Amori and Youngblood, they are way down the radars. If you're looking at Hunter's article, basically mm-hmm. the only he's got okay. Fanside has him going 55 to the Lakers. That's the only outlet that has him drafted, and he's got ESPN has him 66 on their big board, and CBS Sports also has him 66. The others, the other outlets that we mentioned, do not have him ranked at all. Youngblood, basically really, really tough scenes. All of them are undrafted, and he's not on any of these outlets' big board, despite, you know, he came here, got dinged up, wasn't healthy, and only had a couple of spurts where it looked like that's the Chris Youngblood we were wanting to get out of the transfer portal.
Yeah, never really was exactly, I think, what we all kind of wanted. And even if, you know, I think even if he was, I don't know that that really is a super NBA guy. Kind of just he was never really overly athletic one way or the other, not really overly long, okay defender, really could just kind of do spot-up shooting. I think you got to be a little bit more versatile if you want to make it.
Absolutely. So Grant Nelson, the USA Today has him 59 to the Phoenix Suns. That's the last pick in the draft. So all these other outlets, The Athletic, ESPN, CBS Sports, and FanSided have him listed as a big board prospect, but nobody else has him drafted other than USA Today. So it's just going to be...
Your time will probably be better served checking Twitter tomorrow morning to see where all of these guys have signed and, you know, whatever. It's a 10-day G League contract, summer league, whatever it is. That's probably going to be where most of these guys wind up.
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
All right, so Mason, I'm going to carry something real quick because JJ just sent me a message saying to send the link to a different number, which is A-okay. We can make that happen, but I'm going to close my camera out. Why don't you just look at here's how you can set it up. Look at who's committing next or go back to JJ's film and tell us what you think about him as I send this a link.
Let's see. I've got the list of guys coming up down the list here. We've got a bunch of guys coming up really throughout this week, throughout the end of the month of June, and even the first week of July. Excuse me. No, we talked about Xavier Crowell and Max Sutter already. Both of them will be committing tomorrow. Xavier Crowell, I think, is, by everything I have seen, seems like it's a locked Alabama. Max Sutter, I'm a little bit less sure of, but still leaning towards Alabama there. You know, I'd probably give it like a 65-35, 70-30 kind of split there. So feeling pretty good about Alabama. After that, Malachi Lee coming up on June 27th, that four-star offensive lineman that was in Tuscaloosa, I believe, on May 30th. Many of you might have seen the story. You know, they had Tua Tagovailoa's family in town to kind of help, I imagine, discuss with him just the culture and everything of the program and get a better idea of kind of what's going on from a Polynesian family to another Polynesian family. Next, four-star offensive lineman Deacon Schmidt is going to be committing June 28th. The guy we talked about a little bit, not really sure exactly where he stands with Alabama. I haven't seen a ton of kind of smoke going that way one way or the other recently, but I still think Alabama's in the running there. Five-star linebacker Xavier Griffin. This is one that everyone needs to be like locked into their computers for that day. Make sure you're watching. I think Alabama is in great standing with this guy. This is the one of the baddest dudes in this class. You know, I've said it multiple times on this show. I think plays a very similar brand of defense to Jahad Campbell. Really just extremely versatile, can do everything you ask him to. Wouldn't shock, like, the guy could play safety, he could play linebacker, he could play edge rusher. Like, he's just so versatile. He's extremely athletic, really, really can do it all. Excited about him as a prospect. I think Alabama maybe will be getting a good one there on June 29th. And that first week of July, we're looking at Sadarian Morgan on July 2nd. Fantastic. Number one receiver in the state, number two receiver in the class. And then Jaira Edwards next on July 5th, another five-star.
I like him a lot.
Just talk about length, incredibly lengthy. Fits what Alabama is trying to do. And the last two guys I've got here, three-star linebacker Karan Maycock on July 7th and four-star linebacker Nick Abrams on July 16th. A lot of guys coming down the pipeline for Alabama here.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a lot of fun over the next month and change on the Alabama recruiting trail. I just sent that link over to JJ Finch. Let's go back into his tape just a little bit as we get him set up. He got his stats last year as a junior. Oh, where were we? Right there. 92 tackles, 24 tackles for a loss. Led the team in sacks, seven pass deflections, two forced fumbles, and a blocked punt. I know for a fact one of these pass deflections ended up in an interception behind him because we saw that on tape. But really, just eye-popping numbers for a 12-game high school season, and 12 games, including some playoffs. It looked like they played three. Yeah, so they got through the third round of the playoffs. Looked like they ended up with nine regular season games and then three playoff games, and we'll ask him about all this as well. So really, you are standing out on tape, and so it's very interesting to me that he's been underrated by these recruiting services. You look at some of these offers, he was offered by LSU, Tennessee, Michigan, Purdue. Basically, if you consider Alabama in that Tennessee, LSU, Michigan range of upper tier college football, like, you're not worried about star rankings here. I'm really looking forward to hearing about his pedigree. Father played college football, played for Florida and for Indiana, so we'll get to know some of that about him. And then really looking forward to hearing about these two teammates that are in that are just now enrolling in college. Damian Shanklin is at LSU and Tyron Burris is at Indiana. Both those guys on his defensive line last year. I'm looking forward to hearing how they may influence some of his play, helped him, you know, get to a higher level. And so this interview is going to be sponsored by Derek Daniel State Farm. We are about to be joined by JJ Finch. Call Derek Daniel for all your insurance needs, 205-758-3391. He's upstairs right now waiting to hear from you. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. With that, good morning. JJ Finch is the newest Alabama defensive lineman commit right there out of Warren Central in Indianapolis, Indiana. JJ, good morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I imagine it's been a whirlwind of a week for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we want to get to know you a little bit. We got a bunch of different questions, and so we'll just take this into several different directions. But first and foremost, let's take you back to Sunday, take you back to committing to the Crimson Tide. Walk us through what led you to make the decision to go ahead and lock it in with Alabama, and how you're feeling about everything.
Really what led me to making that decision is, like, Coach Roach and that relationship, and then knowing that Coach Womack is at least allowing freshmen to play early and get an opportunity. So with that, it was just really simple. So that's it.
You were in Tuscaloosa for an official visit last month on May 30th. How was that visit? You know, you mentioned your relationship with the coaching staff. Was that visit kind of big in building that relationship with the staff?
Yes, sir. Yep.
You told several outlets that part of that visit you enjoyed connecting with the players, connecting with the team, and making personal connections. So who are some of the Alabama players that you might have clicked with the best?
James Smith, Beeman, and Tim Keenan.
I'm a big fan. I think James Smith is about to have a huge breakout season.
Yeah. Sure.
What do you like about the Kane Womack defense?
The versatility. You know, sometimes three down, four down, everything. Just able to use me.
Is it similar at all to what you've done in high school? Do you feel really comfortable kind of stepping into this system?
Yes, sir, because it's a base 4-2, and that's what we do back at home.
Oh, let's talk about Warren Central real quick. You guys were really good last year, 10-2. Looks like you had two teammates that went into college. Damian Shanklin went to LSU, and Tyron Burris is now at Indiana. How did those two guys help you last year? And really, what are you learning? What are you taking from those two fellas?
They helped me a lot, especially Shank. You know, knowing that he's going to the SEC, he gave me some tips and things, what to look out for, where your hands should be on certain downs and situations, especially now, especially knowing that these linemen are bigger compared to what we just played. So it's always helpful. Then Burris just always explode off the ball. That's always what he tells me.
Have you talked to Damian Shanklin at all since you made your commitment about maybe getting to play against each other or not, not on the field, but you know.
Yeah, I have. Yep.
We're talking to J.J. Finch, Alabama's newest defensive line commit, committed on Sunday out of Warren Central High School in Indianapolis. J.J., what's your favorite thing about football?
Say that again.
What is your favorite thing about playing football?
Really, the physicality and being able to put my hands on somebody without going to jail.
That's a good way to look at it. When you're when you're facing off against an offensive lineman, is there something that you're looking for to kind of to indicate to you like, okay, I've got this guy, I'm about to dominate this rep, or what are you kind of looking for there?
Really just to kill and get to the ball. Always, it's about the ball.
Not even thinking about the guy, just thinking about the ball. I like that.
Yeah, so it's about the ball.
Describe your we just heard you say just to kill and get to the ball. Describe your game maybe in a couple of words or less.
Exciting and really explosive. Explosive with the hands, explosive with the hips and feet. Just always trying to get to the ball, like I said. That's pretty much it.
Do you think that, I know you mentioned how much you like this defensive system. When you kind of talked with Coach Roach and Coach Cormack, was that something that they kind of indicated to you that, hey, we're just going to let you kind of pin your ears back and go after the football, go get guys?
Definitely. Go vertically and go get it. Yes, sir.
Can you elaborate a little more on your relationship with Coach Freddie Roach?
That's like an uncle to me now, especially when he'll tell me tips and things, even with life now. So it's just tremendous. Just waiting to see what comes in the future with it.
What has he told you about playing at Alabama? Because obviously, great player here at Alabama. He's been a longtime defensive line coach. What has he told you about what it takes and what it means to play at Alabama?
Say that again.
I'm sorry. What has Coach Roach told you about what it means and what it takes to play at Alabama? Coach Roach was a great player here for the Crimson Tide. What has he told you about really what it means to play in Tuscaloosa and what it takes to play in Tuscaloosa?
Just the standard of greatness, really. And always having your mind on straight, because it's a lot. It's a lot to play down there, as we should all know. But it's just one thing at a time and just keeping it simple. The main thing.
So, I know you're rated by a lot of outlets as a three-star prospect. And it seems, a lot of people have kind of talked about maybe it being us especially. I think it's a underrating. I think you should be ranked a lot higher. Is that something that that bothers you at all, or are you really not concerned with that star ranking?
It does, but it don't, because when I get up there, I know the star thing is out the window, because when it's time to perform, it's time to perform versus anybody. So that star rating is really just bullshit and just really just people just having an opinion, and they don't even play, to be honest with you. Some of these people who do these rankings never play, so I don't even really care, to be honest.
I saw you at a camp, putting a guy on the back. Obviously, there was no pads there. But just tell us about your camp experiences. Have you been going to a lot of these camps, or has it just been sending your tape out and visiting schools, specific schools?
I did probably about one rival camp throughout my whole high school career, and everything else been FBU. So, it's just been really no camps and just really film.
We're talking to J.J. Finch, Alabama's newest defensive line commit out of Warren Central High School. Oh, let's head to the comment section. Our lead writer is Katie Windham. She is our lead writer for Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. She says, are you planning to come down to Tuscaloosa for any games this season? And have you had a chance to experience Bryant-Denny Stadium yet?
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on coming down versus Tennessee. That game's always exciting. And really see what the experience is, because I ain't never seen it.
What goes through your mind now when you hear Sweet Home Alabama? You're familiar with the song.
What goes through is my mind?
Yeah.
Really just excitement. Like, give me chills just thinking about it for real.
I want to ask you just a little bit more about your relationship with this staff. You know, what is it about Coach DeBoer, about Coach Roach, about Coach Womack that, you know, what about them kind of set themselves apart from the other coaches that were recruiting you?
Really, they laid back vibe just like me and keeping it straight, always telling the truth, no fakeness, no nothing. So I could just already see that because, like, I'm really big on relationships going into playing and doing things about my future. So I could just see through stuff, a lot of stuff that people would tell me. So with them, they'll always keep it straight with me and just try to lead me to the right path.
Let's keep going with those relationships, but spin it maybe closer to home. What about your father and his college playing experience, Jeremy French Sr., playing at Florida for a little bit and then Indiana? What has he told you about playing college football, and maybe what has his inspiration been like for you?
My dad has been big with this process, you know, telling me little tidbits about the business part of this game and really seeing about the future and what it can provide. So he always tell me just always do it and just keep the main thing, like I always said.
Warren Central, y'all went 10-2 last season, so I just got to ask you, after the wins, how does J.J. Finch celebrate?
Say that again.
Y'all went 10-2 last season. After you win, what is your number one way to celebrate? Do you have a victory meal? Do you have a go-to song? Do you have a movie or show? What's your preferred way to celebrate and unwind?
My preferred way to celebrate is really just going home and chilling. Just get on a game, play NCAA or Call of Duty.
We got to throw down the challenge here and see if you're any good at NCAA sometime. So I'll shoot you my DM and we'll play.
You looking forward to hopefully maybe being able to play as yourself on the game one day? That's got to be like the coolest thing ever, I would imagine.
I don't know if we've lost connection here. But JJ, what are you looking forward to about NCAA 26? It's coming out in two weeks. We're going in and out. What are you looking forward to? Let's keep going. Let's spin off that and go into what are your thoughts on early enrolling? One of your teammates, your LSU teammate, early enrolled, but Burris enrolled in the summer. What are your thoughts on enrolling early with Alabama?
My thoughts are real good because, like Shank told me, like, it's really to help you for the season, really, because, like you said, Burris coming in later, and he's going to have to, like, do catch-up, I should say. And with me coming down earlier and being able to get into the weight program early and get my feet wet, I feel confident.
How, you know, growing up where it was, did you watch Alabama football a lot growing up? Did you grow up a fan at all? Who were you a fan of? Who did you watch the most kind of growing up?
Definitely Ohio State because it would always come on Fox. But I was definitely a fan of Bama because, like, just knowing what the – standard was and Saban and everything like that, so it will always come on CBS. Always watch that. Always.
Is there any specific Bama guys that you maybe have modeled your game after at all? Any guys you took some inspiration from?
Sometimes Quinn Williams and really Barmore. I like Christian Barmore.
Those are two pretty great choices.
Yeah.
I see a lot of I don't mean to place these lofty expectations on you, but I see a lot of Christian Barmore in the huddle tapes that we've been looking at.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So we're talking to J.J. Finch, Alabama's newest defensive line commit. J.J., if you weren't playing football, what sport would you be playing?
It'd probably be basketball or wrestling, just because that's something that I already done at a high level.
I could see wrestling. Wrestling makes sense. You know, that's like the other sport where you get to just kind of legally put your hands on people and nobody gets to say anything about it. You know, that makes sense.
Yep.
If you could sack any quarterback playing currently or ever, any quarterback ever, who would be your ideal quarterback that you're picturing J.J. Finch sacking?
It's a lot of them.
You can rattle a few. It's all good.
Mahomes. Peyton Manning. Brady.
You can't get any Brady. Better with those three.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you could have picked three better ones. I wanted selfishly you to say Joe Burrow because I am not a Joe Burrow fan myself, but that's okay.
Yeah.
What's Indiana high school football like?
It's not even that bad. The MIC is real competitive. The conference I play in, LC, BD, LN, it's a back and forth thing. So it's really competitive for my league, 6A.
Have you played against any, we mentioned your teammates that went to big schools. Have you played against any other guys that committed to bigger schools or, whether this year or last year?
Definitely. Mark Zachary at Notre Dame. Isaiah White at Illinois. I definitely played against multiple people going different schools. So, yeah, it's definitely competitive.
All right, let's take you back to last season. Y'all went 10-2. You ended your season with a third-round loss to Center Grove. Now I'm looking at your schedule this coming season, and you're opening with Center Grove. Is that loss? What does that opening game mean to you?
It means a lot, really. Just really to try to get over that hump and beat them for the first time in my career. So it's definitely a big one. It's definitely a big one. It is time for payback and revenge, for real, blood and glory.
We're talking to J.J. Finch, and I want to get more into your mindset with Damian Shanklin and Tyrone Burris leaving. Now you are the main defensive lineman. You are the alpha, basically. What are you doing differently now as the leader in that defensive line room?
Being more vocal and leading the guys even more. Going through practice, don't let them slack or nothing because they seen us just do it, think it was so easy. And I try to tell them all the time, this ain't easy, I try to tell the young guys that all the time, this ain't easy. It's like, you got to really go out there and reach your keys, watch film, do all that. So that's pretty much it. That's all I've been preaching lately to them.
So I imagine that, state championship is obviously the goal, I would think. But do you have any kind of personal objectives that you want to accomplish this season?
Definitely. Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year and Mr. Football. For sure.
I love it. So what is your pregame ritual that helps you achieve those goals?
Probably just listen to some calm music, eat light, can't eat too much, and hype music during the day, though. That's during the day.
Who are some of your artists when you go to two categories? Who are some of your artists when you're hype music and then when you're turning it to calm music to kind of dial in?
Hype music, Lil Key, 5 Dirty Von, and calm music, I like Brent Faiyaz, and who else would it be? Party Next Door.
We're hanging out with J.J. Finch right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com, sponsored by Derek Daniels State Farm. If you could if you could challenge any pro athlete, offensive lineman, we already did quarterback, but if you're going to dominate an offensive lineman, who do you see yourself? Who would you ideally see yourself just getting right on past?
Probably DeJuan Jones on the Browns. He's an in-state dude, so probably go against him, get some good work.
There you go.
I want to go to the other side then and, you know, kind of ask a similar question, but on the other side, are there any, you know, defensive guys now in the NFL that you think your game is similar to?
Definitely. Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence, Quinn Williams, like I already mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Kalen DeBoer. What is Kalen, head coach for Alabama, what did Kalen DeBoer do that made him stand out on the recruiting trail?
Keep it real with me. You know, don't let none of this, I should say, hype behind my name, the stars and things like that. He always just kept it real with me. He never, like, tried to play me or belittle it. So I could see that with him for sure.
You mentioned freshmen playing right off the bat in your opening answer. What did Coach Womack say about that? Because there were a lot of freshmen that got some time last year.
It's definitely an opportunity coming up, especially with probably Tim Keenan and them guys leaving. So he definitely told me that. And just come in with your nose down, and he'll definitely throw you a bone for sure. That's exactly what he said.
Mason, you got about anything else? I got a bunch of quirky questions, but I don't want to take you too far out of the lanes, JJ.
It's whatever.
Okay. Who's your favorite team to play with on NCAA 25?
25? It'd probably have to be – it'd be either Bama or Oregon. Bama or Oregon.
I'll have to send you my gamer tag, and we'll have to run a game or two.
Bet it up.
Video out of it.
NIL is a big factor or is a big deal now in college football. Let's just hypothetically say you get to sign an NIL deal with any company there is. What kind of companies or who you're looking for, what kind of industries would you like to attach your name to?
Battle Sports. Battle Sports for number one for me. That's a big company that I've been wanting since youngin'.
Big apparel and gear is what I'm seeing because I'm old. I don't. Yep. I had to look that up right as you said that. Looks like sports apparel and sports gear. Okay. Well, what sets them apart? What, I mean, they look cool on the website.
Really, what Battle sets apart from everybody else, in my opinion, is really just the football gear, obviously, and really like the fashion and stuff outside with the football gear. You know, they have jumpsuits, you know, bags, wristlets, just different sorts of things that I like. So yeah,
you know, Ryan Williams has done a little bit of you know, gotten into the fashion stuff a little bit with his NIL deals here at Alabama. Is that something you maybe yourself want to get into also?
Definitely.
Absolutely. We're reading that you took your official visit. Only a couple more minutes here with JJ Finch. We're reading that you took your official visit on May 30th. Besides the relationship aspects, let's go to Tuscaloosa. What did you like about the city? What did you like about the area? Did anything stand out maybe while you were in Tuscaloosa as far as, that's a draw?
The sorority houses, for sure. The sorority
They're
houses.
Huge.
Yeah. and it really wasn't no students when I was up there, so, but the people though, the normal people, like, they were just amazing to me, just amazing. And I could just tell that town is really just football lore and just keep my nose down, ready to grind.
Did they take you around to any good restaurants? Did you eat anywhere good in town?
Yeah, Five.
That's a good place.
Yeah.
I used to work there back in the day, JJ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I spent a lot. I did many of those recruiting visits, just serving. Here you go, sir. Here you go. Can I get you more tea? that sort of, so absolutely. Yeah. We second that. We second Five here on this show. What's the impression of that Alabama dining room?
Luxurious.
Absolutely. We're hanging out with JJ Finch, Alabama's newest defensive line commitment. Excuse me. All right, Mason, you got a few more for him?
I got one more question. You know, it's going to be a little bit before you get to campus, obviously, but what is, you know, what one thing are you looking forward to the most about when you get to campus?
Really, just to really see what it's really like, you know, the college life and being able to manage my time, because it's really the biggest thing, and I feel confident in myself already, You know, I like keeping my nose down, keeping my nose clean. So that's pretty much it.
I think Mason inspired me for maybe my last here. You do have roughly 6-7 months and a football season to play. What will be the thing that you're working on to add to your game before you get to Tuscaloosa?
Really the footwork and the hands, because like Shank already told me, it's a different game. It's a real different game. So, you know, being able to keep my feet right and work on my hands and the technique things to the game, that's pretty much it.
Well, JJ, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. I appreciate you giving us some of your time, especially in the early hours of the morning. I'm sure you are already up and at them, getting your workout in and getting your day going. We appreciate your time, man. We're really looking forward to seeing what you do in Tuscaloosa and your senior year.
Yes, sir, definitely.
We'll leave you a chance if you have any message to the Alabama football fan base. We got a lot of people watching and a lot of people to hit us on playback. So anything you want to say to the Crimson Tide faithful before we get you out of here?
Roll Tide, roll. Let's do it.
We'll see you soon, JJ. He'll be dominating at Warren Central up there in Indianapolis, and we will see him here in Tuscaloosa very, very soon. JJ, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank y'all.
Absolutely. That's JJ Finch joining us, and really appreciate him hanging out with us today. Got it inside the mind, got behind his heart a little bit, and looking forward to seeing what he does. He's got a revenge game right off the bat. The team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year is the season opening game. So I think that he's going to be hungry to get after it.
I think that your running theory on why he was a bit underrated as a prospect may reign true. He only attended one camp.
Watch the film, folks.
Watch the film.
He
dominant.
Yeah, it's a one touch. You out the way, or I'm gonna fake into this gap, go into the other gap.
Yeah.
He's wrapping. He's already got the defensive line stunts. He's wrapping around the edge.
And he's so explosive off the ball. Woo! Excited about this player.
Absolutely, I am as well. So Alabama now has three defensive linemen. Two of them are edge rushers. And J.J. Finch, really the interior lineman so far in the class. We're looking for many, many more commitments over the next couple of weeks. Mason Woods will have you all informed on Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. We will continue to try to get more commits on the show. I really, really appreciate J.J. coming onto the show. Please go follow him on the Twitter machines. I just had it up there at he is Finch J.J. _11. Oh, that's one thing I missed to ask him. 11's my number. I wanted to ask him what the inspiration was. So we'll have to get him back on here before he enrolls and goes behind the Iron Curtain why he's wearing number 11. We'll catch up. We'll try to catch up with him through his senior year and keep up with him as well. So, JJ, I really appreciate your time. Go follow him at FinchJJ _11 on the Twitter machine. Let him know that you are excited for his time in Tuscaloosa. Mason, I think that was a good hour, man. Anything else you got?
No, I think that's all I got for today. We ran through the list of guys getting ready to commit, so be on the lookout for that. Bunch of big names coming down the pipeline for Alabama.
We'll try to spin Know Your Enemy till later in the week. We might have to push it a little bit. We're going to catch up with Jasper Reed of New Era Wrestling tomorrow to hear what DNR is going to do on the Star-Spangled Bash. So I'll be.
I'm not sure that they're going to do much. They didn't show me much in the last time I saw them.
They operated like low-down dirty dogs in the last show.
He's going to have to convince me that they're going to really, you know, change some minds in that show.
Well, we will catch up with Jasper Reed tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show. I appreciate everybody watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page, YouTube channel. Katie Windham hitting us in the comments with a great question. Follow Katie Windham always at Katie Windham _. We'll try to get her on as soon as possible. She's just a busy lady handling a lot of business. So we appreciate her at least watching this morning and chiming in. We appreciate you chiming in on the comment section. Leaving us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. It was a good Wednesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Thursday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.